summoning hour.
Hello and welcome to episode 69 of the Summoning Hour podcast. This week's guests are one returner, one newbie. The one returner has been on the show a couple times as his esports club has really taken off and has not stopped since their inception. So welcome back to Austin Clay, president of Alfred State Esports, and welcome to newcomer Cameron Smith of public relations for the same club. So we get a freshman joining in on the show, sharing some of his experience with a club that's just gone nonstop and is showing development that is super exciting. They are starting to compete and pursue that notoriety that comes from competition, because it seems like they've had their infrastructure and their processes really nailed down so they can continue to do those and push those boundaries, but now they can really focus on competition. Before we go into that though, as usual, we have a musical guest. This time I want to celebrate Jansen with a little bit of dancing, because he's making his return to making music and I couldn't be more proud of him and I can't wait to hear more. So without any other further delay, here is Dancer and the podcast.
Hello.
How are you guys?
You know what? It's a Saturday morning. I'm talking esports, collegiate esports with you all, and as soon as we're done here, I'm going to put Worlds on and do some chores. So I'm in a good mood right now. I got my Splice jersey on for later, so.
Splice man, come on.
Hey, got to root for the underdogs, right?
Fair. I'm doing great. How you been?
You know, it's been a busy summer, and I've been tracking a lot with the Collegiate Rainbow Six group, so that league this year already has 210 teams playing in it, so that's a lot to kind of keep track of and build up towards, so that's where my mind's at a lot these days. But, I mean, other than that, it's covering collegiate esports and esports in general. It's been a lot of fun over the summer.
Joined Collegiate I6 this year. I saw you watched our stream last night while we were competing.
Yeah, I got to catch the first map, and then I had to jump off and do the Check Your Six podcast to cover the collegiate scene. So it was good. It was good to be able to pop in and watch that first map. That was close.
The whole game, we didn't end until it was here. It was past midnight our time.
Oh wow! Yeah, I didn't even think about the time difference.
We went all the like 4 hour match.
4 hours for three maps.
And in the end, we lost in the last round of the it was tied 7-7. And then we just lost. One of our players had to kill two more people. And then we lost right at the end. No.
At the end, at the buzzer, last round. Yeah, that's heartbreak. But, I mean, there's always next week. And you guys have a long road ahead of you in terms of that season, so it'll be exciting to see how much you guys grow in that first season.
Yeah, and we somehow, they got a player tonight. Today they're playing against in a scrim against the U.S. Army's siege team.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It's the siege team. It's going to be fun for them.
So what brought you all out this time is that you guys have had already a number of developments since the last time I talked to you. You mentioned that you brought in a new game.
This year we brought in CSGO, and we're thinking of adding Call of Duty and Apex Legends.
Nice. What leagues were you thinking about putting them into? Because there's so many choices between CSL, between College COD, all of them. Like there's so many different places that you can play. Which ones were you thinking about?
Go. We added. We joined CSL for Call of Duty. We were thinking of joining Call of Duty Collegiate one. I haven't decided yet because we're waiting on the new game to see what leagues form up around the new Apex. They really haven't found one. The only one we have found is AVGL. That one that we found, we haven't found a game.
And I mean, that makes sense. I mean, finding the right league for your team is as important as finding the right team to play a game. So it makes a lot of sense that you're waiting to see how that all goes. Now, what led you to choosing CSGO and Call of Duty to add to your roster?
The reason why we added CSGO, we did, someone came up to us saying he wanted to coach it. B, outside of that, when we did our surveys, last year it was like we had 20 people interested in it, and then this year when we did our surveys with freshmen, we had like 25 new freshmen also interested in it. So we noticed there was a big CSGO, so we were like, well, we might as well do it, and the same thing would happen in Call of Duty. There was like 25 people or 23 people who wanted to do Call of Duty, so we were like, we might as well add those games because... We added Apex because we just know that game is popular and growing into our roster.
And so that's what we did. Yeah, and I imagine that it's just that there is a lot more publicity and you might be able to get a little more notice out there with those games and maybe make the university take more notice of what you're able to accomplish in those popular games.
Be helpful because everyone knows Call of Duty, everyone knows CSGO and Apex Legends. A lot of people know what that is, so there's more noticeable than, you know, playing Siege or legal or playing like Siege or Overwatch, where sometimes people don't know Rocket League. People are like, what's those? If you play these are more popular games, it will be easier. Yeah, I have already noticed by contacting different companies, we already got a couple of new sponsorships because they knew about CSGO, so that was very nice.
So actually, why don't you talk about those new sponsorships? I mean, if new games are able to bring in new sponsors and you're able to prove what kind of ecosystem you have for supporting those games are on campus, and it's leading to new business value, who are those new sponsors, and what's it doing for your relationship between the club and the school?
So I will say the GameFuel, we got GameFuel. One with PepsiCo, we got that. They just came in last week, and they added all of that. Last week we finalized all that. So we get PepsiCo, we get drinks from them now. They're gonna add us a mini fridge. We're gonna put that on our stream starting next week, like the logo on our stream and all of that. So that was our big one, was getting PepsiCo on board. I'm gonna throw over to Cameron to talk about Skybox.
Recently, we had talked to the developer about Skybox, in which it allows CSGO players to replay their matches and go back and review and kind of practice and learn from what they had just played and going to rewatch. And we were able to set up a sponsorship in which will allow our CSGO players to be able to use this program and get better by reviewing each game they have during practices.
I didn't even know that it was a thing, and for some reason I never even thought that CSGO didn't have replays, so that's amazing. That's an incredible tool, and to be sponsored by that, like, that's going to help you all kind of kick into that environment real fast.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Our coach found that. He said that he was looking around, because there is one inbuilt, but it's not that good in CSGO. You have to use the consoles and use source code to get it to work, and it's not the best. So he found one that was external, and he, like, start talking to them, and we were able to develop it from there, and we were able to finish that deal last weekend. We were to finish that up. We just haven't finalized those yet, so I don't really want to talk about them yet because we haven't been able to actually deals yet. So they may fall through, so getting a couple more in.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I mean, but the fact that you have more in the pipe and you're joining more games, I mean, this has to look good for the university. What's been the university's response to the amount of new business you're essentially being able to bring in through esports?
They've been with that. We're getting PepsiCo. They became even more supporting for us. They have confirmed that they're going to try to give us additional space. That's all I can say about that, but they're working on seeing if they can expand our space that we have. Then also along that line, last week, Saturday, I had to do a speech in front of all the donors to the school to talk about what I have done and how where we can take it from here. If they want to donate, they can also donate to the club itself. And I did that whole speech. 150 different donors, did that in front of different presidents of different clubs. I mean, didn't I think of presidents of different companies and all that, and did a 10-minute speech in front of them. I did the keynote speech part of that.
How is that response? Because, I mean, I imagine that that group doesn't entirely understand or know what esports are. So it was a bit of a education, catching them up, and then saying, this is what it can do for us. So what was their reaction? I'm assuming you also had a chance to talk to them a little bit afterwards.
So the response was initially everyone's like, what is esports? And then I could see on their face of like confusion. And then halfway through the speech, that I could see them realizing what it is and realizing how intense it is. Cause I had gameplay footage and us playing in the background, so they could see in it, and I could see slow of them understanding it. We mentioned like teams that we beat, like we beat Villanova and Penn State, and that caught their eyes as well. And we beat like West Virginia a couple weeks ago, so those things caught their eyes too. That a D3 college is beating D1 colleges in esports, that brightened them up, and they start realizing more. And at the end, everyone's like, "That was amazing. This is we need to get into this field more," because they're realizing there be the interest and the competitiveness that is there. And some people are like, well, I want to play esports now. They literally came up to me after the speech and like, see the room. They came down, showed them room, and they're like, actually play. Even though they never played video games in their life, they wanted to sit down and learn Overwatch a little bit, even if it's only for 20 minutes, because they were so interested in how I wanted to learn something about it, because they were interested in it after realizing what it entailed, which was a surprise to me. Reaction that I would have gotten.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, to have that kind of turnaround after like a 10-minute talk and then 20 minutes playing a game, just sitting down talking down very casually with someone like that, that's normally convincing someone about esports is a fool's errand. But I mean, yeah. There's some people who are, I guess, just more willing to actually entertain the idea that people are being competitive about video games.
I was impressed by that. I was impressed by how like willing these people were to learn, especially that age group, usually, which is that age group is notorious to not be. So I was impressed by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would hope that if they're working with a university, that they're more in line with new trends and being more accepting of things coming in through college. Because, I mean, college is a very different space than out in like your suburbs where you're doing the normal 9-to-5 commute and work. So college is being more of that, I guess, young and free-spirited environments that they have to be accepting of that as well. So it's still good to see them jump at that opportunity to learn more.
That was nice. Continues throughout all the colleges. I know that our college has a lot of supports, but I've also noticed that more, even other colleges are now that I have talked to, that used to be just clubs that didn't really have official support from faculty, from administration, are actually getting more recognition and more support. I think to see that the collegiate scene is getting more and more support from actual faculty members or from the actual organizations themselves, the universities.
Yeah, that's definitely the trend I've seen over the last year. The support and initial buy-in from administrations have been a lot stronger over the last, I'd say even the last 6 months or so. And I know you all are not new to astronomical rates of growth. How has your new freshman class been in terms of uptake to the esports club?
So basically we went from last semester, we started, ended with 132 members, I think was what it was. And now at this moment, we have 205 members. So just from that was increased from just freshmen and some other like sophomores and that joining the club. But we basically doubled almost our club size just in the beginnings, the first like 2 months of the school, which is amazing. I'm going to shoot it over to Cameron so Cam can talk about like what his experience is since he's a new freshman and all that, and how all the freshmen has taken up the club.
One of my first experiences of the esports club come here was I actually come to Alfred State. I had my DMA major, which I was interested in, but the first contact I've had with them was through Twitter, in which they were able to connect me to announcements through Discord, which was amazing. Because after that, once I actually was living in Alfred State, I was able to get their Twitch stream announcements. My first exposure to esports was their 24-hour live stream, which I enjoyed. So then after a couple of days, I ended up coming down, introducing myself. Everyone was welcome. There's a lot of freshmen there. Still a lot of freshmen there. Good friends. And we just loved the room. And then when it came to the welcoming week that Alfred State has here, they had a stand that was almost packed after this huge ceremony we had on the football field. So it was almost as if once we were done with the ceremony, a good portion of the freshmen that were there flooded to the stand. And it was just amazing because not only did I love the esports room overall and like what they're offering, it was great to see how many people were interested in it as well, just going to the stand, signing up, getting the Discord link and joining.
That is probably the best freshman experience that I've heard of so far. And that's just incredible. Did you have Smash running at your booth? I've heard that other colleges, they put Smash running on their booth and it ends up attracting more attention than like all the traditional sport clubs anyways. And so you even have some members from those clubs coming over just to play Smash, even though they're not interested in joining.
Didn't have Smash going, but what we had was prizes. So you signed up, you filled out a form, and you got like free items because League of Legends, Riot sent us a kill package. So we got like League of Legends items, you got loot for the games and all of that. And we'll basically hand here, take this. People from other clubs who just played League for fun were coming over. I'm not joking. In the first like 10 minutes, we had at least 100 people around a table that only had 6 people working it. They let out, and then we had 100 people surrounding us. And we're like, what do we do? And we're trying to explain what the club is. And right next to us, right next to the booth, there was the DJ. So we were trying to scream over the speakers to 100 people in front of us. Surprisingly, they all stayed and listened. But it's like, it was amazing that in like 10 minutes, we had 100 people there just talking to us, all of that. And then it came down that day. We were doing a 25 stream that day. They came down, people were watching, hanging out with us and all of that. And that was amazing. Also, the interest in the freshmen this year, what I'm the most happiest and proudest about is that these freshmen are wanting to be on eBoard. Like, a lot of these freshmen are asked, I don't care if I'm not on the team. I just want to help out the club. Give me a chance to help out the club. Hey, I want to sign up Apex Legends. Big reason why we signed up Apex Legends, a freshman's like, I want to be the coach. I want to play Apex Legends. I want to coach a team. Can we do Apex Legends? And they're like, I found the league. This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to run my tryouts and all of this. These freshmen are so interested and so dedicated already that it was impressive that we added new roles to eBoard, which are called assistants. So each eBoard member has an assistant role that they are allowed to basically take a freshman or a sophomore that they want and help train them in the ways of that job so that when we leave, these freshmen that have the dedication and drive to be part of eBoard already will actually know how to properly run the club. So it's not them just throwing them into hey, have fun. There's 1,000 things that you need to do. Here's all the sponsorships that we have to do. We're not going to show you how to do it, but have fun.
I imagine it also helps document the process.
Yeah, that's the big one. We realize, wait, we don't have this documented. This person is supposed to do this job. And we're like, wait, they're doing this job, but there's nowhere showing that this job is supposed to do this. So we're adding stuff to the constitution and realizing, because freshmen are like, wait, why is he doing that? That's not his job. I'm like, but it is. It's like, but it's not in the constitution. So we're like, oh crap, we got to add that to the constitution saying this person is in charge of watching over the room, or PI is in charge of coming to podcasts, making sure dumb president doesn't say things that he's not supposed to say because someone keeps looking at me, keep messaging me, don't say certain things. So that's not, that's things we got to add to the constitution of like making sure when we do podcasts, you have someone there making sure we don't leak certain information that we're not supposed to.
Yeah, that's a good process to have. It's a nice safety net. So So, Cameron, in terms of picking up your new role, and like this is your freshman year, so I mean you're essentially stepping into a part-time job on top of all your other schoolwork. What's that role and adaptation been like for you? Were you expecting to join the esports club as soon as you showed up?
So so that's how I'm kind of involved in the club already. But as I was kind of just relaxing from the room, Austin introduced this PR role opening. I'm a DJ. I love editing stuff, making stuff. So I was like, yeah, sure. So after that, there's a meeting. I was voted in to be the PR, and I loved it. And even though that I kind of had a grasp of, like, I'm public relations, I go out, I get our name out in a positive way, spread that stuff. But as I was learning this role, everyone in the e-board just supported me. I asked the question, they helped me so much. In fact, it's just like they're helping me learn, like what they said, how once they're gone, there's going to be a new generation, I guess you could say, of e-board members. And with them helping me learn so much, I can't be more grateful to help the club even more.
And Austin, what's that like for you to hear a freshman coming in wanting to get involved and thinking even long term of keeping the esports club going?
That gives me the hope that, remember last year, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen after I leave, after the first cohort of us leaving. I was nervous that I thought the club was going to fall apart. With this, it gives me hope that even after I leave, this club will be there as long as we set the strong foundation, which we have. I feel like now, continue on being successful and keep growing at the rapid rate because we have such dedicated people. Job as a president, there's so much easier for the club and guaranteeing that we will continue existing and being as successful as we have been.
Yeah, I longevity and that being able to continue the progress being made from the previous leadership has always been the biggest conversation and the biggest question for me, not being in an esports club or anything like that, but having talked to so many of these clubs where they were fledgling at the beginning of last year and they started getting some momentum behind them, but they were already seniors or juniors and they were talking about doing internships. And so like thinking about how they were supposed to keep building their club as well as pursuing the rest of their education, it just made me super nervous for the continuity of that club. But I mean, I know you're an animal, so you've shown tremendous growth already, and I mean you have this assistance program set up, so that basically solves the question. As it's in the constitution now, the club has to run a certain way and they expect certain positions to be filled. Like, that's a great way of instituting that this thing's going to go on without you.
That's my big thing. And also with the assistant program, they are forced to come and sit on the e-board meetings. They're not like they're assistants, but they still have to come to all of the official meetings. They may not have voting power, but they can still talk their like opinion and say, hey, well, I think this is what we should do. They just don't get to vote, but at least they're there watching it. So they're like, oh, this is how we're supposed to run the e-board meeting. The in and out of the program.
Do they have proxy power in case one of the e-board members is unavailable to?
Missing, my assistant will show up. He will have the power to vote for me. Yeah, I have to say Cam can't make it. His assistant, Ashley, will have power to vote for him. And then so forth. So everyone has, each person has a power to vote if they're not there. And each e-board member can have as many assistants as they would like. Like, we just voted in another assistant. So one of our e-board members, the room officer, now has two assistants. Because he's room officer / food guy. So he's in charge of two different things. So and now he has two assistants. So that helps making sure the room rules are enforced. The room is clean. We make sure we have all the drinks for all the members and food for the members when we do certain events. So having more assistants makes the jobs of e-board easier. The only issue is that we probably have like 23, 24 members on our e-board at this point. So we get of them power. The remaining 11 don't have voting power generally, but they're still there. So we have a lot of say, which comes up with a lot of different ideas, which sometimes run into problems, but generally that's actually better for us. We have noticed that more ideas allows us to quicker react to problems. We find a problem and we're able to come up with like six ideas quickly. And then we're able to say, well, this is the idea that we should go with. And then we vote on it and we go with that one idea. But we're able to do the spitball brainstorming so much quicker that we're able to get into enacting the plan much faster.
How have you had an opportunity to have chosen incorrectly and then react to the incorrect decision? Have you had that experience yet?
Most certainly. Even this semester, we had a plan for something, and then we realized, wait, this is not working. 2 weeks later, we realized, wait, this is not the right solution. So we're like, wait, we'll go back to the drawing board. And then working. Because we were trying to do something with we realized the issue with people being on the computers for too long. Now, since we have so many members and we only have 9 PCs for all 200 members, some people were sitting on a PC for like 6 hours and then no one else can play. So we initially instituted a policy of, hey, if someone comes in and they ask you to get off, you get off. But then we realize gamers are too nice and they won't ask each other. Literally, that rule was there, but members would walk into the room and see 9 PCs full, and they wouldn't go up to them and say, hey, can you get off? I would like to play. So we instituted a new policy where now on all the computers, we have markers that saying when they signed in on the computer, so that person can walk up to the time and say, oh, well, this person's been here for 4 hours. And then they'll be more encouraged to ask that person, because which has been working, because they've been here for so long, kicking him off, because I know how long he's been on the PC.
That makes sense, and that is a different approach to that. I've seen some other things, but I feel like that's almost more personal and more of a community building than just saying, oh, there's an automated timer on the PC that kicks you off after 2 hours or after so many matches kind of thing.
Yeah, which my big thing is building a community that is nice to each other and wants to be next to each other. We even with our teams, we're trying to do events, an event soon, which is opposite day, where my Overwatch team will play Siege. Well, the Siege team will play Overwatch. So we get to understand each other and how it means to be another team's, so that we can cheer for them. We understand their game a little bit more, and we understand that even though our game is hard, their game might be harder, and then we get to understand each other and be around that.
I like that idea. It's also an interesting way of teaching different mechanics. I could see a lot of overlap between CSGO and Siege in terms of terminology and overall strategy and tactics, but it might carry over one way or another differently. So that's kind of an exciting idea to also just get a break from playing 12 hours a day kind of thing.
Yeah. We also, like, I do, for I know Overwatch and Siege does family dinners. It's team dinners, really, but we call them family dinners, so that before our matches, they all go down and eat together as a team, and they hang out and joke around to build that team bonding more, and then they will go play the match. So we're trying to make sure even in the teams themselves, they are liking each other and can actually talk human to another human, not just as outside of it as other humans in real life. Being able to hold a conversation with your teammates is an important thing that we felt that we need to do, because pro leagues, all the pro teams, not all of them, but a lot of them have team houses where they're all in one house playing together. We felt like we can't emulate that, but we can at least try our best to bring that same level of community to our teams as well.
Now, typically with traditional sports, when you have those team dinners and team meetings before a game, everyone's wearing their jerseys. Does Alfred State have new jerseys this time around?
We are finalizing that. I had to send the email after this podcast out to the jersey company to fix one more design on it, and then we will be getting our new jerseys. We swapped jersey companies this year. So we'll be finalizing that. We should have our jerseys by the end of this month. And all this year, like unlike last year, which only Overwatch got the jerseys, this year all teams will be getting a jersey. We'll see a new way to make sure all teams get a jersey this year.
That's awesome. And it looks like you also have t-shirt designs for purchase as well. So the students and other club members are able to get involved now?
Yeah. So general members and even family members can start buying these t-shirts designs that we were working on. Once we get that up and running, we can start buying our t-shirts as well. And we can even, I'm in talks right now with the campus store to see if we could sell our t-shirt design in the campus store. Since they already sell t-shirts that say football on it or soccer, I'm trying to see with administration if they will allow us to put it in there. The only issue is, their issue is, we don't let any other club do it. Why should we only allow your club to do it and not any other club to sell things in the campus store? So it's a work in progress to see how we can actually work this in so it doesn't look like we're getting from the school, selling things in the school store.
Got it. Yeah, that's an interesting situation because, I mean, at the same time, esports is definitely becoming more of that baseline competitive game and competitive environment, and it's not just a club anymore. It's not just casual. It's meant for, it's ultimately going to be for building a university's branding and staying relevant, while other clubs like chess or yachting or outdoorsmanship like that, there's not a direct business value associated with those things. But for an esports club, sponsorships, and I mean esports in general, sponsors and sponsorships are kind of the bread and butter way of maintaining a business, essentially.
So that's something we want to do. And one thing I will say about Alfred State is that we're linked as pioneers. The Woodsman Club bonuses because how our branding is for the college. Woodsman is the only one that also gets help because of branding for that. But iClub, also trying to do an event this year, which is, we're still working on, remember I was thinking the high school league, we're still working on that. That's what Cam is working on. So I want Cam, do you want to talk about that for a little bit, about your the events, about the high school things I'm having you do for reaching out?
So what I've done is I've been emailing nearby high schools about this event that we're going to be having, this tournament-style-esque event in which we'll be inviting these high school students, if they are interested in esports or just gaming in general. We're going to hold this huge tournament here and have them all come down to Alfred State so they can play in this event and just kind of just have this great time as well as get interested more in the esports community.
Yeah, I mean, it's a high school invitational mixer. Like, that just makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, it's the basis of a scouting effort. It's the basis of getting people to know that there is an esports and a potential esports future for those students by the time they graduate and get to the university. High school is the feeding ground to college, and it only makes sense that you try and adopt them early and get them interested in early. For all you know, you're the first university to approach them and say, hey, come here. We have a future for you. We have what your interests are in mind here. So, I mean, it's a great little marketing tool, and it's a great thing for your club. The school's got to be all on board for it. So that'll be exciting to plan off. Did you have a time or a date or a time frame in mind when that might happen?
We're thinking of doing it next semester because it's already late in the semester, and we're still trying to work with all the high schools to get them all up on board. So we're expecting it to be next semester, sometime probably in April, May, near the end of the semester, so that we have time to make sure we have all the computers all set up. If we're doing Overwatch, we got to figure out how we're going to make sure we have all 12 PCs, all the same PCs, so that everyone has the same competitive environment. So we're working out all those details, which game we're going to do. We might instead of do Rocket League or League of Legends, but we got to figure out all the rules for that, pushing it off later because of those reasons. Some high schools around us have stated that they don't have one yet, or they just started one, so they would like time to develop their own team tournament like this. They want time to make sure that their high school team is actually consistently performing.
That makes sense. I mean, it's a starter for a lot of them being starter programs. They have to get their feet underneath them before they are like, hey, let's start talking to universities, and they have to figure out their own competitions as well. The high school esports scene is almost as undeveloped as collegiate is, but it's even more Wild West, because, I mean, you can't even, in most places, you can't even get a full district to be involved and say that we want to have competitive esports. They're still having to connect with high schools in other states just to try and scrim. So,
yeah,
it might be a little early for that, but at the same time, if they're already entertaining the idea to be out there with you and to come out maybe in April and May, like, that's a great step to already have that introduction with them.
So, that's something we're trying to do. Cam, do you have anything else you want to talk about? Just things that you have heard about as a freshman. And do you want to talk about anything about your time here as a freshman, just in general?
I guess you say that my time here as a freshman, outside of school, I've just the opportunities and just the what the esports club offers is great. In fact, I was very socially nervous making friends here when I first came here because it's a reset, new life, high school's over. And the esports club was the perfect thing to get me to meet new people and make new friends. I've almost doubled the amount of friends that I thought I would have. Honestly, I thought it would take me at least a month to at least get a good group of friends. But within like the first 3 days of living on campus, the esports club was a gateway into meeting great people. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a common thread that I've heard from people who are fresh to joining esports club, that their social circles and their support structures weren't as strong as they thought they would be after the first couple weeks. And so finding a club was imperative for them. And a lot of them hadn't even been playing video games really before they joined their college esports club. So it's got a strong track history of building meaningful relationships. And I mean, I've been following information like that since the early 2000s about studies with families and everything, families that game together stay together. I mean, that's been true about family board game night for decades now. And I mean, involved parents mean that they know what's going on in their kids' lives, and finding some activity to build a relationship around and making it a consistent thing is just absolutely pivotal for developing relationships. And it kind of bolsters me up hearing that so many people are getting this from gaming, because I mean, the gaming club at Western was basically a few guys sitting around playing Smash when I was going to college. So hearing that there's these clubs of hundreds of people and that are just enjoying being around each other, that's huge growth. And I love hearing stories about it.
And from my side, it realizes the efforts that we are doing are effective. Like hearing those stories, seeing people who weren't friends initially and then coming here, you seeing them hang out. There's a room next to our esports room, which is just an empty conference room. At night, we take that room over, in which is the room I'm sitting in right now, and literally you will see like 20 guys in there, and 20 guys, females, all that, just sitting there watching anime, hanging out, doing homework, laughing, and all this. And it's like, this is amazing. I have done what I wanted, was built a community where people feel safe coming down. People are playing video games in the room over. People are watching our matches in 201. People were watching Siege last night, all Siege match, hanging out, cheering for our team, all of this. Have realized that as an e-board, the efforts that we've been pushing to build this community have effectively worked, because we can see it clear as day that people are hanging out doing things, since we have spots where people hang out that I can check on.
So I guess that begs the question, you're accomplishing your goals, you're moving forward, you still have plans for the rest of the year, but are you taking the foot off the gas any to focus on what you've got, or is it still just full steam ahead?
You know me. There's more things in the head of me. There's more and more things you got to do. You never stop. So there's always something over the mountain, the next horizon. You gotta fix the next thing. Finish the speech, and I move on to the next thing. I got to make sure our teams win. Like, our big thing now at this point is making sure all of our teams perform well. Our goal, at least my goal as president, I want all teams, including all of our new games, including CSGO, I want them all to make the playoffs. So, like, we play in Test Buff Overwatch, I want them to make the playoffs. Even if that's only the round of 64. For CSGO, whatever CSL has, I want them to make their CR6, which is going to be really tough because our Siege team is new, and also the CR6, I know, is very competitive. And what I've been told is basically, like, the semi-pro scene. Like, that's where, like, a lot of really good players are right now in that collegiate scene there. So I still want us to make the playoffs. That's my goal now, is just make it to playoffs. It proves us and helps the school, convince the school to get us more things. Now the big thing is, like I said earlier, is convincing the school to actually expand the space that we have. We have the space. We have sponsors for that space. We have outreach. We do all these things now. We have proven ourselves. We have play against semi-pro teams. We're playing against U.S. Army later today in Siege. We have proven ourselves that we can outreach and get these people. Now let's see if the school can actually support a room that has like 20 PCs, 25 PCs, or something where it makes it actually, since we have so many members, something that we can actually use for all of these members. Because right now it's so hard to actually facilitate these members. Eventually, even if I have my foot on the gas constantly, we're going to reach a point where we have 500 people or 300 people in our club, and no one's going to be able to play a PC. No one's going to be able to play, and then the membership is going to start dropping off, because, like, why should I even be part of this club when I go down to the game room every single day, all 9 PCs are taken up already? Why even bother? All this practices, literally right now we have practice from 4 to midnight, generally speaking, every day of the week. 2 hours a day. Each team practices 2 hours, 3 days a week. So there's only like 6 hours of open free time for general members to play on these PCs. Why should they be part of this club if they can't even play? If there's not open enough PCs for them to play? So that's now the new goal focuses as the president is. No, non-stopping working with admissions, admins, everyone to get that going. That's my job. You know me, no sleep, get things done.
Of course, I wouldn't have expected anything less. And of course, there's another mountain. And of course, you're carrying the world on your back. There's no way you're going to pass that off to anyone until they can pry it from your hands when you're graduating, basically.
Even then, there's been talks of hiring me either as a part-time advisor to the club when I graduate, so I can still help the club and be like part-time here and part-time doing graphic design for the school, since I do that already as well. I'm a graphic designer now. I do like 10 to 20 hours a week designing posters for the school. So they will let me have that job, and then also hire me as the part-time esports coordinator for the whole program.
Well, then
talks of that, they still haven't finalized that out. So
for a long time.
Yeah, it may be in my hands forever. Hopefully, we'll see.
That's the long game that you're playing.
Yeah, I enjoy it too much. I think I said it last year, my ultimate goal is to find a job in either as a coach in Overwatch, but preferably I enjoy the administrative work more and being the head. I would love to be an esports coordinator for one of these new colleges, which, as a side note for me, I think has been, for me, watching the explosion of all these new clubs and all these new schools supporting gives me hope to find a job in the field. And also, I know a lot of my coaches who are seniors as well have expressed their interest in trying to see if they can also find a job as a coach in the esports industry, which gives me hope for them and for myself, is because look how much money all these new colleges are looking. You look at job listings, there's constantly new job listings for, hey, we need a part-time league coach, or if you this, that, all this. So it gives me hope for a lot of these people that are on eBoard, because I have noticed like colleges are hiring people to teach streaming, just to teach how their players to use Twitch, teach players how to do PR and Instagram and all this, how to properly get their name out there as a esports player. I have noticed colleges and all this. So it gives me hope to my players, and Cam, who's like a DMA student, if he wants to stay within the field, he has a chance to stay within the esports industry. So he's not wasting his time as a part-time job working for the club. He's also gaining experience that he can actually use when he leaves to see if he can get something within the industry if he prefers that as a job. So that's been exciting for me to watch as well.
I'm absolutely on board with the amount of skill development that comes from people who will become involved with their esports clubs, like basic day-to-day management, actual personnel management, coordinating goals, planning meetings, making sure all the resources are in the right place, here, there, all of that. It's technical, it's non-technical, it's hard and soft skills. Like, these are all skills that I use on a daily basis in a professional atmosphere at a game development studio. And so it's it's easy to see the relation for all of this stuff, and it's all game related, so it doesn't take much to convert your mindset from that esports to, in my case, like game development. Like, there's still in software development, you would be able to make that crossover to just about any other major industry, because everyone uses computers, everyone is understanding social media and the impact of it. So there's so many crossover skills. And actually, this makes me want to ask Cameron one question, is that what was your parents' acceptance like when you said you were joining the esports club?
They expected it, because throughout high school, I played it, and so in the beginning, kind of like, hey, don't let this consume your high school work, but I was able to find a healthy balance of it, and as I was just rank, I hit gold 2, and then I would get really excited, because over the past six months ago, I hit plat 4, which is a big achievement for me, and like a little personal achievement in the game. And I was telling time would go by, just like, oh, hey, I hit this rank, or this game's done this, I'm making a lot of friends, this is how I'm happy, et cetera. And they ended up looking into the esports category themselves, and they're like, oh, hey. So I've just been updating them. And in fact, they've actually followed the esports Twitter, and they've been keeping track. They saw pictures of me at the Overwatch World showing, and when I got home, they're like, hey, you're on. So they're really interested in how I've progressed throughout the years, being involved in games and then going to esports and then actually going down this path. It could actually be very great, very beneficial, and just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great story, and it's a great acceptance. And it actually kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, of like families that game together stay together. I mean, you were staying in touch with your parents, and it's created that buy-in and acceptance over time where now, oh, all those hours of days and nights and 2 a.m. like ranked matches now actually have mattered to them, and they can see what that work has paid off for. So having that end outcome of you joining a club, having a strong social circle when you're on campus as opposed to just being at home during high school, that kind of stuff, like that's all very beneficial for parents to start buying into and understanding. So I'm glad you had an easy transition with that. Going forward, I mean, you've mentioned events happening maybe in April and May. You've got your timeline stacked going forward with more sponsorships and more university deals to work out with getting into the store. What else do you guys have coming up that you think or have a good chance of actually being able to do and pull off, maybe not this semester, but next semester as well? Any new goals or plans that you can discuss?
So November 10th, which is the world finals for League, we got a kit from Riot again. They're sending us out some prizes and all of that for that event as well. So we're doing a watch party of that. I'm going to talk to Gamefuel probably later this week, to see, over probably Monday or Tuesday, to see if we can get some prizes, like Gamefuel hoodies like that, to see if we can do also add that to the event. Outside of that, we're doing a Smash tournament. We are not personally hosting it. It was with the casual gaming club, Games Nation. They're hosting it. We are co-hosting it, though. We're supplying them with additional space, like our esports room, additional space that we can reserve for them. We are helping them with prize money and or winning prizes items. We're giving out like Gamefuel. Since we have the sponsorship with Gamefuel, they don't. But we're going to use our connection with Gamefuel to see if we can do like a one-off sponsorship where Gamefuel sponsors Games Nation for that one event. Help them, since I have the connection, to see if they can give out prizes for the game fuel and all that. Or we might use Tespa. The issue with Tespa, though, is they're sponsored by Coca-Cola, so we're trying to figure out which one is the better option to use. Is it better to use game fuel for that, or is it better to us to stick with Coke for Tespa? So we're trying to figure out which one is the right one to do. We're probably going to go game fuel because it's our sponsor. We're probably going to do for that event. Then our SLC takeover, which is we take over the whole student leadership center, first from first floor to fourth floor, and we literally put games in all the different rooms. There's like, I think we got like 10 different gaming rooms, I think 10 or 12 rooms, where we do like retro gaming, competitive gaming, the esports room gonna be one, fighting games, racing games, where we do a real life Rocket League with our IC cars. Should we make it a Rocket League arena, and then we use IC cars and have them play in the arena and play Rocket League in real life next to the actual game. So we have all of that going on. We'll be trying to see which sponsors we can get, even sponsors that we don't have as full-time sponsors. We might talk to some one-off sponsorships. We know Subway's down the road. I know Subway's have sponsored. I noticed that they have sponsored other gaming clubs. We might see if we can get them sponsored for that one event. We're going to see if we can reach out to different teams. Or we're seeing if we can reach out to different universities for that event as well, for SSC Takeover and the Smash Tournament, to see if we can bring in teams from outside to help fundraise money. Because, like, people on campus, we're thinking, if at least for the SLC Takeover, it would be free for them to show up for Alpha State students. But outside, we could have them pay, like, a $5, $3 entry fee for showing up for the day to do the SLC Takeover, which helps fund the SLC Takeover and also fund the clubs. Smash Tournament, we are inviting everyone on the East Coast. Anyone, any college, I got to make a post, a couple of posts on different Discord servers, Twitter posts, and all that. Anyone on the East Coast, or if you want coming from the West Coast, we're not stopping you, but we're assuming most likely the farthest people are willing to drive is around the East Coast to come out, and they will compete in the Smash Tournament here on campus. And it's a two-day event, so we're going to see what we can do with that two-day event to see how many people will show up. That's right now our biggest one this month, is October 1, is the Smash Tournament, is that one. Then SSC Takeover is happening in November. And I think we are doing, like, our club is doing some special, like, tournaments. We might doing, like, hey, compete in a Rocket League tournament, and whichever open team wins, you get to play against our official Rocket League team. Or if you do the Overwatch, you compete in Overwatch. Whoever wins, you get to play against our Overwatch team, our official Overwatch team. If you win, you might get that basically like a trial then, because, oh, you beat our Overwatch team. Let's see which players carried you, or which players that we would like to pick up, because you showed off your skills in a match against our players. So that gives them another chance to show off to them if they missed tryouts, or they say they were decent at tryouts, but they didn't make the cut for our tryouts. And then they come back and they show us, hey, I've been grinding these past 2 months. I want that spot. Give me that spot now. And then we can give them the spot because they've proven them that they want the spot. So we're trying to do events like that. Watch parties and hangouts that we're focusing on that end of that deal.
I like it. That is a lot going on. You are most certainly keeping up the activity this year and definitely not pulling back.
No. And then we also added this year as a special event, just a consistent event. Every day we do study sessions for academics. So every day for 2 hours, there's a room that we have reserved that is the Alpha State Esports study room. Every day for 2 hours, you come in, you sign in, so that we can keep track, so that if you start failing, we can say, hey, you're at least making the attempt, you're below a 2.5, but you're not below the 2.0, we'll allow you to keep playing because you're still in academic good standing, but we know you're actually trying to keep your grades up. But if you drop below a 2.5 and you haven't come to any study sessions, we are less likely to say, hey, we're most likely going to say, hey, take 2 weeks off. We're going to bench you for 2 weeks so you can get your grades back up above that 2.5 and start coming to our study sessions. And then once you get above again, we will let you back on the team. Or after 2 weeks, we'll let you back on the team if we have seen that you have made attempts to focus on grades. It's something that we're trying to do, is because without that, the schools will less likely support us. If we just all of a sudden they see 200 students go from like 3.0s down to 2.0s or 2.1s, they're going to see that as a negative effect of video games, even if it isn't. So we're trying to make sure that we don't create that stereotype that's already existing. We don't want our players to emulate that stereotype or embody that stereotype. So we're trying to help our players and general members to avoid that stereotype so we can actually get support from different companies and the school easier.
That's great. And I mean, having that self-awareness to make sure that you're feeding the right information to the people paying attention and feeding the right results to them, and making sure that it's just not a problem for the beginning. It's just the smart way of doing business. I love hearing the self-awareness and the respect that everyone's giving each other to accept that they're there for school first. As easy as it is to just kind of get sucked into your own interests and whatever else is going on, but to hear that the school is still the focus, it's just a smart program. Did you guys have any last shout-outs or last messages that you would want to put out there so that everyone else knows where to follow along with all of your schedule insanity?
So our Twitter is AlfredSTEsports is our Twitter handle. We have a Facebook page as well, AlfredSTEsports. AlfredSTEsports Discord. The Discord is private. You will need to send invites to one of the members to ask to join, because I have an issue with it, because I have literally in every other college team that we have faced this year, I can go find their Discord because the Discord's public, and then I can see what comps they're running because they talk about it in their Discord channels, or in, like, talk about their SI. I can see the whole team SI, who's the starting rosters, who's the not the starting rosters, and all of this. I can actually find information out because I'm allowed to join Discord, so we have that hidden. So if you want to join, you have to reach out to one of us through one of our social media platforms, through Discord, through Twitter, Twitch, or Facebook, and then we'll add you into the Discord, like how we did with Cameron. Those are the things I always say, I am always proud to say that our admins are so supportive of us, and I always want to thank Spencer and Don and Steve for always helping us out with anything they want us to do, helping us making sure we can reserve the, making sure we can actually get into the campus store. They're helping us work on that. So the support that we have from the admins is a beautiful. Skip is the one who recommended me to do that speech at the donor meeting. So Skip, our president, that I want to thank him for letting us do that. And then just obviously our sponsor, Game Fuel, the drinks they give us, everything they've been helping us, the logos, the support, and the different funding they've been helping us through is amazing from Game Fuel as well. You have anything there, Cam, you want to say thanks to? Can be anyone. Can be your coach if you want.
I mean, honestly, I just want to thank everyone in the eSports and eBoard Club just for helping me get used to college life and everything, just socially, mentally, physically. Y'all have been amazing, and I just want to say thank you.
Well, it was great catching up with you too, and AlfredSTE eSports. I look forward to seeing you drive forward in all the competitions, as that seems to be a big goal this year. So seeing AlfredSTE climb those leaderboards, that'll be exciting to see. And with Collegiate Rainbow Six, there is more than enough opportunity to hit one playoffs or another. So it's all in all likelihood, if your team's as dedicated as you are, Austin, or as your eBoard is, it's almost a sure thing that you guys will be seeing one playoff format or another. So good luck to all of your teams. Good luck to your eBoard. Good luck, Cameron, for adjusting and really getting into the thick of things that Austin's going to throw you into. And we will see you all on the other side. And again, of course, anytime there's updates, I'm happy to boost the signal and show everyone what a proactive club can do in a short period of time.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day. Have fun watching the Worlds.
Have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, is the podcast. Yeah.